We were on Kuf Aleph Amud Bet. We had just finished the Pinchas thing. So now we're moving on. So if you look towards the bottom of Kuf Aleph Amud Bet, the Gemara says as follows. Amarav Moshe Rabbeinu Kohen Gadol B'cholek B'kodshei Shamayim. So that's going to be our next agadata after this one, is Moshe was the Kohen Gadol during the period of the Chanukah Mishkan. Shneimar me'elam yulim leMoshe hayelam anak, because Moshe is getting a portion. Meitve, where it says v'alo Pinchas haya imahen, it wasn't Pinchas there. V'imita, and if it's the case that Moshe was a kohen, lema v'alo Moshe Rabbeinu haya imahen, shouldn't it have said that Moshe was there? Because remember, we got into this whole discussion about oni. Right? Remember this whole, how we got into all this? Yes. We got into this about the halacha of onen. His onen at night, and then we said, well, the Aaron was an onen, and that's why he didn't eat the karban. So the Gemara said, okay, but if Moshe was a kohen at that point, and Pinchas was a kohen at that point, why did they eat the karban? Yes. That's our next sagat, huh? Because the main sagat of that is in the next page. We're getting there! We're getting there. Dilma shiny Moshe, the Tirad Mishchina. So at this point, the Gemara doesn't reject that yet. And he said, maybe he was too busy. Maybe he was due to the status of the Kohen, but he was busy with God. That he went up early and came down late. Meitve. So now it says, fine. Lechem Elokav, Mikachev, Kadashim, Kadashim, Yochel. He, meaning the Kohen with a mum, can eat of the bread, of the kodesh, etc. In Nemru Kache Kachem, Lama Nemru Kachem Kalim. If it says he can have Kache Kachem, so obviously he can have Kachem Kalim. So Nemru Kachem Kalim, Lama Nemru Kache Kachem. So Ilo Nemru Kache Kalim. It's that if it hadn't said Kachem Kalim, I eat the Omer Kache Kachem with the Ochel Shari Uchul Zar. You might have thought that only Kache Kachem can eat because a Zar can sometimes eat it. Lilahen Kachem Kalim lo Yochal. Vilo Nemru Kachem Kalim, I eat Nemru Kachem Kalim, Yeochel Shain Kalim. On the other hand, you might say that Kachem Kalim you should eat because it's Kal. Kachem Kalim lo Yeochel. Kach Nemru Kache Kachem, Kach Nemru Kachem Kalim. So you need both. Ktani Mia, we said anyway, Shari Hutl is Zar, that it's Mutter to the Zar, so who is that? Lahen Lav Moshe, which Zar was allowed to eat Karbanot? Isn't it Moshe? So Amar Rav Sheshet, lo, Bibama, Lazar. It's a Karban on a Bama that a Zar can eat. Kedivrei Omer, Yesh Mincha Bibama, like the Shito says, there's a Mincha in the Bama. Fine. Meitve, then the Gemara says, Miriam Mihis Gira. Where said very bottom of Kofal from the bed. So then the Gemara says, okay, Miriam, who declared Miriam a mitzvah, right? That she was a mitzvah. Who? Because remember, who has to make a kohen has to do it. Im tomar Moshe is gira Moshe zaru. If it was Moshe, it can't be. It was a zar. Vein zaro ad negayim. V'im tomar Aaron is gira, and if it was Aaron, Aaron karav who? Aaron was a karav. Now, don't ask me, what about Moshe? Isn't Moshe also a karav? Okay. V'im k'tani roed ad agayim. Ella kavod gadol chalak l'akadosh baruch hu l'miriam. God gave her a distinct honor there. Shod shah ani kohen. God is apparently a kohen. V'ani mas gira. And he made her a mitzvah. Ani choltav ani potra. He declared her pure. He declared her impure than pure. At any rate, the Gemara says, Moshe Zar, Vein Zar, and Agarim. So you see that Moshe was not a Kohen. So again, we're going to do this afterwards. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Shiny Mar Negoim, Dar Novan of Ketiv Bar. She says, no, Mar Negoim, it's not enough to be a Kohen. You need to be Aaron and his family.
Wait, even though
Aaron
is
a Kohen. What? A relative. Okay, now we're going to get back to this Moshe thing, because the Gemara is going to take it up directly in a few lines. But before that, what we're going to spend time on today is the next line.
Why are the Habakkuk answer that not only is the Karo a Zara?
We just said he's a Zara.
Your question was, why did he say he was a Karo?
Well, yes, but it said he was a Zara, but he should be saying he was a Zara and a Karo. But okay, it doesn't.
Well, it's saying, more than...
I understand.
With
a non-coming.
Thank you. I want to get the terms down.
Okay, so then the Gemara says, Meitvei, another challenge. Chamesh smachot haita Elisheva yitera al benot Yisrael. Elisheva, who is she? The daughter of Aminadav. The wife of Aaron. Achot Nachshon. Right? Al Bino Israel. She had five simchas more than anybody else. What were the five things that she had? Yivama Melech. Her brother-in-law is the king. Moshe. See? Okay, good. Isha. Guys, Isha Kohen Gadol. Her husband is the Kohen Gadol. Binna, her son, Skan, is the Skan Kohen Gadol, Elazar. Ben Bina, her grandson, Pinchas. Meshuach Melchama, is the anointed one of war. The Achiha, and her brother, Nasi Shevet, and her brother is the officer, the prince of a Shevet, Rav Yehuda. So she should really be happy. Except, V'aveil al shnei baneha. But then two of her sons died, and she's mourning. So the Gemara says, K'tani miyat yevama melech. At any rate, doesn't that imply that her husband, that her brother-in-law was a king? Melech in Kohen Gadol lo, that he was only a king, but not also the Kohen Gadol. Doesn't that contradict the previous claim that during the days of the inauguration? So Gemara says, lo, ema af melech. He was Kohen Gadol and melech.
What was Aaron?
Kohen Gadol after Moshe. During the 7 days of the inauguration, that was day 8 when he passed it over to Moshe. But the first 7 days, it was Moshe. Then in day 8, which is when they died, he had given it to Aaron.
But who died? Oh,
so yes. Wait, okay. Well, the line said he had five simchas. One of them is her brother-in-law was king. Mara said, well, didn't you were challenging the notion that he was a Kohen. So as you see, it said he's king and not Kohen Gadol. Mara says, maybe not. Maybe he's king and Kohen Gadol. Okay, fine. Now, the reason I'm doing it in this order is because the next line is going to start this discussion of whether, in earnest, of whether Moshe was a Kohen. Okay? What I want to focus on today, and this is a different type of an agada to share, is just this line. And what I want to do is show you seven versions of this line as it appears at different midrashim. What? Yep. And I want to just study the nuance. I want you to see how, and I only took seven. There are many others. I took seven versions of this midrash. And what I want to do is carefully analyze what is this midrash trying to tell us, and what do these slight nuances between the midrashim tell us about what they think is going on here. Okay, so what? Except for the last source, yes. But so now, yes. So what I want? Okay. So if I asked you now, this line, just this line, that Elisheva had five smachot, and then she mourned for two sons. And I asked you just what is, okay, there's the broader context of this line. This line is being brought in to prove something about whether Moshe is a Kohen Gadol, Melech. Yes? For the moment, let's ignore the reason that this agadic line is being invoked in this context. And let's just focus on what is being told in that statement. Because it's clear, this is a midrashic line that, as I show you on this sheet, is quoted many, many times. Again, I gave you seven examples. Our Gemara is invoking it for its own needs, but that doesn't change the fact that the Midrashic core here has its own meaning. So let's analyze the meaning. What, if I asked you, just what is the meaning of that one line, Rabbi Graber, what is the meaning of this line? That Elisheva had five smachot, her brother-in-law was king, her husband is Kohen Gadol, her son is the Skan Kohen Gadol, her grandson is Meshulam Chalchama, her brother is a Nasi, and she's mourning two sons. What is the purpose of that Midrashic statement? Fortunate is not a word.
Fortunate?
There you go. Okay.
How praiseworthy it is and how happy
when
relatives are in.
And she's mourning two children who died on that same day. So what is the purpose of this line?
Of that line.
This whole line. I want to know. This line. So that's what I'm trying to ask you. So let's try again, Moshe. What is the purpose of the line? So, okay, Avi has one possibility, which is it's highlighting the possibility of contradictory emotions. Right? And how is it doing that? It's illustrating. It's taking someone. Everything here is pshat. Everything here is pshat, more or less. I mean, okay, we can quibble. Is Elazar the Skan Kohen Gadol, or is he just the Kohen? But the point is, she is undeniably among the most connected women in the Jewish people. There's no denying that. You look at it, it's like, right? And yet, so one possibility is what Avi says, is that it's highlighting the possibility of complexity. That you could have really good things, really bad things happening. That's one possibility. Give me another tweak. Moshe. Okay. So another possibility, right, is that no matter who you are, no matter how powerful you are, bad things still happen. So those are slightly nuanced, right? Avi's version is bad things and good happening can both happen. Right. Evan focuses on the fact that no matter how important you are, bad things happen. Moshe, what do you want to say? Yeah, well, let's start with Moshe said before. Moshe said at least the first half of it highlights that, wow, Elishev is amazing. I mean, she has like the best life ever. Yeah, then deal with the last few words.
People would think that.
Va've'ela shnei baneha. Now what? Wait, no, Moshe.
Oh, no.
Okay, I mean, you could say that, right? Meaning, you could say, don't just, right? Okay, fine. You're reading more complicated, which is people might look at a great person who's so connected and say, oh, you're the luckiest person in the world. But you never know, right? You never know. Don't be jealous of them because you never know what's going to happen. Right, it's like I was talking to Shmuel David about this. Right, there's a reason that people say "rak bri'ut." Right, no matter how rich you are, powerful you are, if suddenly you get sick, if someone in your family gets sick, right, you'd rather be the most regular person with a regular, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Thing,
because
the fact that she was connected to people in Portugal who did bad things,
that
there wasn't the death itself,
as she's upset about. She's mourning her two children. I don't see. Now, I could see a different one, which is highlighting just how fragile things are. Right? Just how fragile life can be. That, look, she's at the top of the world, and the next second she loses two sons, right? It could be highlighting fragility. Okay, but there's a lot of different ways you could take this line. But what I want to show you is that if you watch, now, it's clear, what's clear to me is that this midrash, what type of midrash is this? We can quibble on how literal every line is. Right? We can quibble on how literal everything is. Okay, is she skan? But, and again, is it, as the Gemara itself is doing, is he really king? But fundamentally, this is pshat. So what is it doing? What is the purpose? This midrash is highlighting, yeah, it's reading the Torah carefully and highlighting the fact. Now, Elisheva is not a character you know much about in Tanakh. But what is it highlighting that if you read carefully, you will discover? Yes, but not just that. You'll discover something very profound. Here's this woman. You know very little about her, except that she's super connected. And at the very height of her success, she loses two children. There's nothing in there that's not pshat, and yet it's clearly a very profound observation. It's not like saying anything. It's not like wildly mechudash, but it's a profound observation. What I want to show you here is, like I said, that this same basic observation is specifically treated in different ways in different midrashim, which is methodologically important, because what does that tell you? What does that tell you? Sure, it reads differently, the details differently. So what does that tell you? It tells you that one of the things that Midrashim are doing is that Midrashim are reading Torah carefully. They're making careful observations, but the same observation, the same basic, exactly, meaning The common core is that clearly all the Midrashim noticed that if you read the Torah carefully, Elisheva, despite the fact she doesn't get any speaking role in Tanakh, clearly in her time was really powerful. And a little bit of imagination leads you to realize that even though the only people we meet in the story are Ara, what about their mother, right? Like a person with a modicum of empathy who read the story knows there's this woman called Elisheva might try to get into her head. That observation is common throughout the Midrashim. But what you do with that... So, contrast what I just read with the Midrash Mishlei. Look at Midrash Mishlei. First of all, why does this drasha come up in Midrash Mishlei at all? So, why does it come in Midrash Mishlei? It's very good. The last parak of Mishlei is Eshet Chayil, as Moshe correctly knows. Did you know that? That it's the end of Mishlei? Of course you knew that, right?
Yes.
You knew that. That's the last parak of Mishlei.
Yes.
You didn't know that? That Eshet Chayil is part of the last parak of Mishlei?
Thank you. Not,
have you not even looked at the... Okay.
I'm working on it.
Okay. So, in the middle of Eshet Chayil, the pasuk says, Oz Vahadar Levusha. She wears... What's Oz? Power and strength. Vahadar and splendor. She is clothed with that. So, right off the bat, if we are about to invoke Elisheva right now, what is the emphasis of this midrash going to be? The first part. Very good. That there are some people in life who are just so lucky, so amazing, so powerful. And that is, in fact, what the Midrash Mishlei does. Zu Elisheva Baranidav Shira'a Arba Smachot B'Yamachad. It's four smachot in one day. This may follow the other Shita Nagmar. It ignores the fact that Moshe is the king. No, it doesn't actually. It ignores the other one. Achia Nasi, her brother is the Nasi. Ubala Kohen Gadol. Now, that's also interesting. I will also point out that's also interesting. Do you think there's any difference between the order? Well, yeah, okay, good. What's the difference? What do you think, Graber? Is there a difference between starting off with Yevama Melech, her brother-in-law is king, her husband is Kohen Gadol, her son is Skan, her grandson is Moshe Mochama, and her brother is the Nasi, or starting off, her brother is the Nasi. Ubala Kohen Gadol, her husband's Kohen Gadol, Achi Baila Melech, and her brother-in-law is the king, Ushnei Banei Perchei Kohuna. Now this one also seems to not think that he's a Skan, and maybe doesn't think that Pinchas is yet. Now also, okay, first of all, according to at least one Girsa here, it's Arba Smachot B'Yom Echad. In one day, she had Arba Smachot. That explains why Pinchas isn't here, because Pinchas becomes Kohen later, as we saw in our Midrash. Okay, fine. So,
how much later?
What?
How much later
is an interesting question. But okay, it also seems to not believe that Elazar is the Skan. Right, so this Midrash shares a common denominator with ours, which is that she's a very happy person. But A, it only focuses on the happy part. Right? It also, the difference between the Gemara and Zvachim, the Gemara and Zvachim, what does it do? It highlights Pinchas, which means that it's actually making, when you contrast it with this Midrash, it's making a very different point. Because in Midrash Mishlei, what is it highlighting? Her experience on the day they inaugurated the Mishkan.
That's one...
Right? And really only the beginning of the day before her sons die. The Gemara, by quoting the Pinchas part of it, isn't making a comment about her experience of the day that day. What is it making a comment about? Experience of life. Right? Her experience of life. But now that's a very different comment. Right? It's a similar insight, but one of them is saying, look, she had an amazing day, at least, you know, until 12 or something, until her sons died and then bad. But we don't know that yet because it doesn't highlight that. Whereas the Gemara in Zvachim is highlighting her life and highlighting that her life was very happy. And also, you know, whatever exactly you learn, the fact that it's more complex than that. Okay. But if I ask you, so now we have the Mishlei freezes a moment in her life that was super happy. Yes? Now again, there's the little quibble differences, which is, okay, is it Lazar a regular Kohen, a Skan Kohen? Okay. The one in Zvachim seems to look more at her life. Therefore, the import is different. I will add, there's another thing that I think is interesting, is the order. So tell me, is there anything interesting about starting with her her brother? Okay, so one possibility is, okay, she's going by blood relatives or something like that, and her brother's closest. Or is going by chronological relatives. That first she was first she had a brother, then she got married, right? Then she had a brother-in-law, and then she had kids. Okay, so it could just be that it's going in chronological order. There might be something else there, which is... So I'm going to suggest something. You can take it or leave it, which is... Power begets power. That how did she end up marrying the Kohen Gadol?
Her
brother is the Nasi of Yehuda. Right? It might not just be chronological order, but there might be an implied causation, which is Chashuv families marry Chashuv families. Exactly. Okay, but the Midrash Mishlei highlights a snapshot of the good part of her life. Watch Kohelet Rabbah. Now, before I even read Kohelet Rabbah, what do you guess? If Mishlei highlights the happy part of her life, and now you have this tradition in Kohelet, good. So watch the pasuk that the Kohelet. So watch what Kohelet does. Kohelet quotes this on Lischok Amarti Mehulal. I said to laughter, to joy, to laughter. It is Mehulal. It's what does that mean?
Nothing.
What? Oh, that's what you're saying. So, well, let's see. Well, you know, Kohelet. What's the second half of the pasuk? So what does Mehulal mean? It's madness. And then what's the second half of it? Ulisimcha mazo osa. And happiness, what is its purpose? Right? Now, if you start off a drasha about Elisheva with happiness is madness, what do you think it's going to do to this midrash? Talking about, he says, ma mor baba schok. Look, he says, happiness was mixed midat hadin with judgment. Elisheva bara min adav. Because Elisheva bara min avrata arbas machon b'yamachad. She had four machon on one day. Moshiva mamelech. Now, this, by the way, this order, I don't know what to do with it. It seems to be, this order seems to be in power. Right? Guys, the order here, listen to the order. The only order I can think of here is power. Moshe Yavam HaMelech, her brother-in-law is king. Nachshon Achia, her brother Nachshon, Nasi Kol HaNisiim, Rosh Kol HaNisiim, is the chief Nasi. Do you notice what it added? What? Yeah. Apparently. Abala Kohen Melubosh Avne Eifod. Now just listen to the language. He is the Kohen who wears the Eifod, right? It's dramatic. Shnei Bane Askan Eguna. Now, so the Gemara said she had one son who's a skan. The Midrash Mishlei said both of them are regular Kohanim. The Midrash Kohelet promotes both of them. Both of her sons are the skan. That, very good. That's exactly what it is. It's taking the exact same insight. Now, while Mishlei snapshots it in the good, Kohelet builds it up because it's about to show you how life is meaningless, because when you're at the top, you're going to crash. And just look how, listen to how it reads it. V'kevan she'nichnasu she'hakdir. And when they came in to bring a k'taret shelo birshut, without permission, nisrefu, they were burned. V'nehefcha simchata le'evel. And her happiness was transformed into mourning. Heve Omer, this is what the pasuk means. Ula simcha mazu osa. What is the point of happiness? Shneimar acharei mot shne. Run. It's the second half of the pasuk. Yes. Yeah. It's the second half of the same pasuk. In Kohelet. So, but you see Watch what happens. We have the same core tradition. Are we clear? This is all this. Is it very clear? This is the same core tradition. Our Gemara seems to comment about the complexity of her life. Midrash Mishlei freezes you at happiness. Kohelet builds up the happiness more than the other Midrashim, but telescopes from the beginning that it's telling you how happy she is to just show you how worthless happiness is, because it always ends in utter disaster. What? No. Yeah, okay, I'm not going to get into the historicity, but a lot of these are late Midrashim. Yeah, the Midrashi Rabbah range from Breshit Rabbah, which is Talmudic, to Shmot Rabbah, which is post-Rashi. Oh, wow. Yes. So what? Yeah, it's post-Rashi. I think it's Ashkenaz, but it's post-Rashi. So all these Midrashim are from different periods. These aren't all Chazal, but my point is simply what the exercise of Midrash is. The next one is a Sifrei Zuta. Now, Sifrei Zuta is on the Sifrei Zuta Bamidbar. So what's the context of that one? On Nachshon. No, not Parshat Nachshon. Nachshon, we meet Nachshon. Ze Karban Nachshon. This is the Karban of Nachshon. Here, look at it, you have it. How do you know that all the Nisiyim volunteered their carbon, carbon kulun shava, and their carbon is all the same? Talmud Lomar, Zeh Karban Nachshon, Zeh Karban Netanel, Zeh Karban Eliyav, Zeh Karban Elitzur. Be'oto Shah, Be'oto Ayom, on that day, Ra'ata Elisheva, Bat Aminadav, Arbas Machot, Ve'evel Echad. On that day, she saw four happy, sad things and one happy. Sorry, four happy things, one sad. Who did this sound like? Avi. It sounds like Avi's version, right? The Midrash here, which says that she saw, on that day, she saw four happy things and one sad thing. That sounds like your original formulation, which is that bad and good things can coexist, right? It's not building her up to crash. It's not looking at her life. What is it doing? It's highlighting the complexity of the day. Right? Not remember, Kohelet is specifically building it up for a crash. But the exact same insight. Kohelet says, frames it as Lusimcha Mazu Osa, what's the point of joy? Is saying it's happiness, which then crashes is meaningless. In the version of the Sifrei Zuta, is her happiness meaningless? No, it's complicated. Right? Same, right? Again, the same facts. But Kohelet implies that if you do that, then your happiness is worthless. Right? The higher you go, right? The higher you climb, the harder you fall. The message in the Sifrei Zuta is life is hard and complicated. Sometimes you have good and bad things happening at the same time. It's complexity rather than
worthlessness.
So Ra, and it says, Ra ta yivam melech achia melech. Sorry, it saw her yivam, our brother-in-law is king. Achia nasi. Baila kohen gadol. Also, Skadim. And I'll owe to Ayom. And now, again, if you want to know the message, it quotes a different pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Shir HaShirim, Perek Dalid, Pasuk Tet Zayim. Let's see if you know what that is. It's right in front of you. What? Uri Tzafon, Uvoi Teman, Hafichi Gani, Yizlu Bisamav, Bati Lagani Achoti Chala. But what is that? It's the last Pasuk of Perek Dalet and the first Pasuk of Pasuk Perek Hei of Shir Shirim. Yes. Uri Tzafon is awake, O northern wind, Uvoi Teman, come, O southern wind, Hafichi Gani, what's that mean? Blow upon my garden. Yizlu bisamav, so its perfume can spread. Yovo dodi ligano, let my beloved come to his garden. Viochal primigadav, and eat of his fruit. And so what is he saying? It's hard to tell, but something like, and bati ligano yachita kala. So on the one hand, it's good, but I don't know if the implication is, but you ate some of the fruit, like the children, right? Like there's a relationship with God, it's clearly good, but there's also bad happening. I'm not really sure. Right? So it's clearly highlighting some sort of relationship with God. It doesn't sound that way. The pasuk in Shir HaShirim is normally, you're welcoming my beloved into his garden to enjoy his luscious fruits. How's that bad? I mean, unless that's the children. But what? Okay. Vayikra Rabba. Elisheva Bar Aminadav Lo Samcha Ba'olam. Vayikra Rabba says she was never happy. Why? Because Hei Ktarim B'yom Echad, she had five crowns. This is more similar to which one? Kohelet, except different. Kohelet says, right, that happiness becomes worthless because she crashes. Vayikra Rabba at some level is taking it farther, which is if it crashes, then it was never. You were never really happy. Not Kohelet, which is happiness is not worthwhile because it's fleeting, but it's not even real if it doesn't last, right? Which is Yevam Melech Achia Nasi Balakoin Gadol Shnevana Beish Seganaguna Pinchas Ben Minam Shuach Machama. Right, this is the first time that we get the promotion for both her sons and get her grandson being. Right, so it's the most built up of any of them. Right, she has two skanim and the Mashuach, right? Highlighted all five. Kevan Shenichnazu Banela, Kraven is her foe. And as soon as her sons came in and they were burnt, Nefchasim Chadar Lehim Bel, Haile Dufiv, Achrei Mot Shnei Bnei Ara. And now, what? Because, oh, good. Why is it so depressing? Look at what Parsha it's in. Because it's not in Shmini, it's on Achremot. It's highlighting the Pasuk where her sons died and not where they inaugurated the Mishkan. Right? That's why. If you're commenting on the Shmini one, you might focus on the good before the bad. If you only focus on the Pasuk by He Acharei Mot Shnei Bnei Aharon, after the death of her two sons, you're more likely to focus on the death. Very good. What? What? No, he said. Midrash Tehillim, Midrash Shochar Tov. We have some very early ones that are like borderline, like Breshit Rabba, which is a Moraic, I think.
What did that major go in? Like, where did it?
I don't know. These people are there.
Anyways.
Oh, no.
Okay. Last one. Midrash Tehillim. So this is on Mizmor Ayin Hey. Why Mizmor Ayin Hey? Because clearly, again, you know Tehillim by heart.
I got this. Because we read Tehillim so often in the Tehillim.
What? So this is on Perek Ayin Hey, Pasuk Hey. The Pasuk it's quoting is Amarti Laholalim. I say to wanton men, Al Taholu, don't be wanton. Ul vilirishaim, and to wicked people, al tarimu karen, don't lift up horns. How do you think this one's going to go?
Not well.
Rabbanan Amri, zu haita elisheva bar yehudav, shahaita biada arbas machal b'yamachad. What is it? At some level, it's almost like accusing her. She had her hands four good things. Ra'ata moshiva mamelech, Aaron bala kohen gadol, nachshon achia nasi, Elazar, first time, by the way, we named them. Elazar v'tamar skanei kehuna. The nichin is ubanei la'akriv and is surfush. And emar ateitzei eish malafin Hashem. Uktiv acharei mot b'nei Hashem. Nevcha simcheta bo bayom. Her happiness on that day turned litzara. And now it gives you a theological justification for the first time. Which is vatzikim lo samchub olam azeh. Because tzadikim are never happy in this world. Yep. It's like, she's amazing. And you know what? She was at the top of the world. And you know why it had to come crashing down? By the way, what's the difference between the first six that we saw and this one in Midrash Tehillim? No, it's not. Is the first six didn't say this is her, because of her. It's just describing her reality. Right? Right, but now it's suddenly saying, no, why did this happen? Because of her. Because tzaddikim can't enjoy this world. Varishayim are, and that's what the pasuk means in Tehillim. Hoy amarti lolim al taholu. So now if I look at this, right, what do you notice? That the midrash, all seven midrashic comments that we saw, are highlighting the same insight, which is that at some level, Elisheva is the most connected person, had so much power, and she also mourned two children. But that same very obvious insight, when you actually think about it in the parsha, let's review. We have our Gemara that uses it to make an insight about her life, which is either life is complicated, she had good and bad in her life, or don't think that the powerful people don't suffer, whatever you want to say it is. The Midrash and Mishlei freezes and said, hey, you know, there were parts of her life that were happy. Kohelet builds it up to highlight that the happier you are, the more fleeting it is. Vayikra Rabbah goes further than Kohelet Rabbah and says that if it's going to end in tragedy, then the Simcha itself is meaningless. The Sifrei Zuta is highlighting her experience of that day specifically. Midrash Tehillim is the first one that highlights that maybe it's not just that it happened to be her experience, but it had to be because Tzaddikim can't enjoy this world. Yes. Some of the Midrashim highlight the complexity of life. Some, the fact that bad things make life not worth living. Right. Some that right, that superficial power isn't necessarily meaningful. But again, what's amazing is that all the Midrashim, and we saw it, even the order makes a difference. Right? In some of them, we start with power. In some of them, we go into the detail. Each of them has its own twist. And again, that what I wanted to show you today was a very different shear, is that sometimes you have an Agada comment, you have a Midrash. There's a core that is noticed by many Midrashim. But the same core can be taken in many different ways, right? All these Midrashim, the core is almost identical, okay? Sometimes it's four, sometimes it's five. Sometimes it focuses on that day, sometimes on her life. But all of them focus on the complexity. But some of them highlight that life is complex. Sometimes they say that the fact that she was built up is what made her fall worse. Some of them just say the fact that bad things happened in the end meant that it was all meaningless from the beginning. Some say you knew that it couldn't last because she's a tzaddikah, and tzaddikim never get good things in this world. The exact same insight. Make theological claims. Make experiential claims. And the experiential claims are different. Okay. So that's really all the Midrashim I wanted to. Now, if you run a search in Bar-Ilan, you'll see that it's not seven. This comes up like many, many, many times. What? What do you mean?
Sure it was. But sure she was half a page. You just could have put more. You could always put more.
Of course, I could. Right. If you run a search in Yevama Melech, just that line from this, how many was it? Okay, that's a little bit much. But no, it's because it's getting other ones. What was the key line I used? Let's see. Just Isha Cohen. Yeah, whatever. No, like if you just did Isha Kohen Gadol, no, it's also going to get too much. Okay. Whatever. It's a lot. The point is, I gave you seven. I could have given you many more. Fine.
With
the hundreds? Yeah. No, I think it was like 50 or something like that. 40 something, maybe. Okay. The last thing I wanted to give you was just a piece of the Tzitz Eliezer. Because the Tzitz Eliezer has, in case you're ever wondering, Chelek Chav Tshuva Gimel in the Tzitz Eliezer is just a collection of of comments on Masechet Zvachim al Seder Hadapim. In case you ever want to look at the Tzitz Eliezer's Chidushim on Zvachim, for some reason he included it in a tshuva. Okay? Yes, it's a long tshuva, but it's on many comments on Zvachim in order. Okay? So let's just read his comments and we'll finish with that. Chamesh Machor, I tell you, Shavitir Albinot Yisrael, Yivama Melech, Yisha Kohen Gadol, Benaskan, Ben Minam Ashok Mohammed, Vachien Asi Shevet, Vavela Shomana. Yesh La'ayeng. You have to wonder. The Lachora Lomuvan is a Kesher Yeshno Asiyum, Shal Vavela Shomana, Lamash Kadam. What is the connection between the end that she was mourning, Lamash Kadam? Matsayena Chamesh Machor, I tell you, Shavitir Albinot Yisrael, Ulushem Ma Basiyum Azel El Mashakadam. Why is this coming here? Now, this was obviously the question we've been dealing with the whole time, which is what is the connection between the first half and the second half? So now he gives it. Ulai yesh lomar, one possibility. Shebas yom hazeh letzayin nigat gulata shel Elisheva. One possibility is to show you how great she is. Shegam shaitav ayla shnei banei another v'neviyu. Even though she's mourning, So this is reads the opposite ways. Maybe what our Gemara is saying, I'm not sure I read it this way, but this is how he reads it, which is that even though she was mourning, she was still happy spiritually. That she got the other five. The fact that she was still happy. Now, what's the problem? What does he know? What problem does this necessarily has to run into? That denies any of the other midrashim. He says, Ulam midrash rabba vayikra. If you look in vayikra rabba, rages gada bezeh lashon. There's a different girsa, which is Yavama Malachia Nasi, Bailakon Galush, Nevanash, Nekanakunwa, Pinchas Benamashoch Muhammad, Kamishin Manalakrav, and Israel would have Chasim Chatala Evel. Lefi girsa Zopacheva Midrash. He says, in the Midrash, Yavan Bipshitu, Yotalan, and Zim, Eno Bemekashur, called the Mazah. They mention it very according to that, these are two things. Barishona misaper lanu ha'is machod. First it tells you we're five. Shazach le'shavi yitera ben Israel. Basof, Moses v'nish l'shmeinu musar haskel. Then it's telling you a lesson. Del avzchi ha'gedola zot shazach le'shavi, even though all the merit she had, chozot kasher l'achar mikan nechnesu b'nei nadu aviyu shnei skanei kuna l'akram nevchasa v'da le'eva v'nisrfu. So he has a different lesson from this, which is, no matter how righteous you are, if you do an Avera, no matter how much power you have, if you do an Avera, you're going to be punished. Again, that's not how I read this, but is it a possible message that comes out at least one of these? Not she, her sons. That no matter how connected the family is. Right now, again. V'zeh yotzei lanu od yoter mifurash b'kolat rabba. He says, he thinks that's the message of kolat rabba. Again, I disagree. Kolat rabba, I think the point is that the higher you go, the harder you fall. He says, no. He says, "L'schokam arim v'lashkod v'zelashon shnei banei shnei k'tani kuna kishnech l'akter shol bereshut nisru v'nev chasim chata le'evel haviyomar l'simcha mazu osash and amrach reimot shnei banei v'nev aron harei shenismach ha'kevan shnei l'akter." The emphasis is since she came into they came into k'toret le'el shnei banei skane kuna v'usam adgeish anir l'akter shol bereshut v'zel shigarim shnev chasim chata le'evel v'hefil al simcha v'shenu lekach shol simcha mazu osah v'ayin b'marsha horiot. And he says, and this is what I haven't really seen too many people deal with, but he says, the question you do have to ask, which we haven't dealt with, but I'll deal with only very quickly, is the common denominator between all of these is that who is the focus of the Midrash? Elisheva. It could have just as easily been Aaron. Aaron's going Gadol, his brother is king, his brother-in-law is Nasi, his kins are God, right? No one bothered asking this. Now, I will say that I think that the reason it did it is because it wants to highlight Elisheva's experience because she's silent. Yeah, right? Meaning, you know, Aviva Zornberg makes this point that once Chazal say that the women didn't die in the Midbar, that means the Chazal, the women didn't die in many places, right? Then Bamidbar becomes not the story of the Jewish people, it becomes the story of the men, which means that you're just asking for Midrashim to be written about the women because it's silent. We just don't know what happened. So at some level, I think this is the Midrash talking about Elisheva because we don't hear about her. But Marsha says differently, which is what? Guys, the Marsha says the point is that, remember, Aaron was forbidden from mourning. Guys, just let me finish my point, is that Aaron was forbidden from mourning. So why would you highlight Elisheva? Because she wasn't. Is that if you want to highlight the complexity of this day, you can't take Aaron because Aaron wasn't actually allowed to experience the complexity, as we saw. And he's forbidden in certain sense from mourning. Who's the one person who's actually allowed to mourn properly? Elisheva. And therefore, if you really want to understand the complexity of this moment, you can't look at Aaron because Aaron is a different complexity. And that's what we did a few weeks ago, which is the halachic dion. Elisheva, you can just focus on the experience. Etc. Right. So, and that I think is a very interesting point. Is the reason we highlight Elisheva is because Elisheva is the one in the story who's free to actually feel the complexity of this moment, where Aaron at some level is forbidden. And therefore, if you want to really highlight what's going on in the story, you have to do it through the lens of Elisheva. Okay, that's what I wanted to share with you today.